city. Flickering dirty neon.
Hello, everybody. It is, as you know, Michael C. Rupert, Tracker of Truth, back with you again. How did we make it this far? April the 6th in the year 2014. Can anybody imagine this stuff going on for five more years, getting worse? And getting, no, of course not. It's the eschaton. As we start the show tonight, I've spoken many times on this show about my dear friend Jesse Ray, who's in Crestone, Colorado. I talked about going to Sundance with her last summer. I talked about how when I was snowed in Moffitt this Thanksgiving, she walked through snowdrifts and brought me an amazing dinner. And as I left Colorado with everything on fire, having to leave, needing to leave, no more able to control what I was doing than anything else. It was spirit moving me. But I shared with you that she was the only thing that I missed there. Well, I got news for you guys. She's sitting right next to me tonight as I start the show. It's amazing how when we take actions, other things come into place. She made decisions and choices, and she took some very big leaps in her life. She's going to be staying here with me for a few days before she takes her wonderful 11-year-old son, River, up to Oregon to stay with River's father and visit with him for a while. But I hope there will come a time when I'll say that that we're together almost all the time. But it's a beautiful, beautiful thing to experience and to feel her energy sitting next to me tonight. Something about the balancing of the male and the female. We ever talked about that before? All right, everybody. So let's catch up on the world. Details are kind of boring right now, but I did pull one story this week from the Mirror in UK. You know, we have talked on this show a lot about how the air pollution in China, Shanghai, Beijing, all the coastal cities, all the industrial, is so bad. They're selling air. They broadcast pictures of the sunrise so that people can actually see it on big high-def TV screens. Recently, we talked about massive air pollution in Paris and Belgium, but also in Brazil, Sao Paulo, which is experiencing a major drought. But this week, Britain, London, emergency room admissions up 20%. Photographs are as scary as everything else. And Mother Earth is telling us something. These are not events that have anything to do with the artificially drawn boundaries of countries in which they happen. This collapse is approaching on us. Collapse, this eschaton, this end is coming at us from 10 different directions, and it is now, it's like totally apparent. But in Britain, it's really bad. The pictures were really ugly, and this has to do not only with the fact that we are releasing ever more carbon into the atmosphere and it's getting warmer, but the climate collapse and global warming itself is removing the ability of the atmosphere to clean itself from smog, and it's happening in the places, coincidentally and perhaps karmically, that create the most of it. We'll see what happens in this country. This summer is going to be a bad summer. So, major earthquake, 8.0, that's a big one in Chile this week. Lots of aftershocks. And everything else is going on exactly the way that we have known it was going on. I mean, we have passed the point where it's necessary to list events. If you haven't got it by this point, you're wearing the dunce cap, not us. And we don't apologize for what we already know here, which is that the human race is experiencing the effects of refusing to deal with its shadow. The human race is experiencing the consequences of its actions and choices, having lived within a culture that has led us to this point and which seems hell-bent on destroying us. Now, the point of the show tonight is that I'm beginning to sense that there really is a way out of this, and we're going to talk about that tonight. And it's probably going to shock a few of you when we get to that point in the song. But I have some major, major allies in the show tonight, which means I get to let some people who are much smarter and much more spiritually advanced than me do some talking before I leap on their work and make the few little points I can make in contribution. The first cut I want to play tonight is by our dear friend John Trudell, who you've heard many times on this show. It's a cut called Living in Reality, parentheses, Oklahoma Song. It's performed by John Trudell and Tribal Voices. If you don't know, John Trudell was a founding original member of the American Indian Movement, who was one of the most eloquent men I've ever seen. And in 1979, after he and AIM had taken some very bold and decisive actions, that's at the same time, 3 months after I left LAPD, when I was being followed and shot at, a very turbulent time in American history. His wife and children were burned to death on the reservation as punishment, and the FBI did that. They still do that. We are not surprised that this man has survived and evolved through the amazing fire that he has. Is an inspiration to all of us, especially me. But he carries a good message tonight. So let's hear from John Trudell, Living in Reality. Let's go.
The children laugh, the old ones laugh. The newborn cry, the elders weep. The knowledge of infants and elders, separated only by years. Adulthood lost to growing up fear, the only security being insecurity, changing crying to weeping. The wisdom of infants and elders, crying and laughing, weeping and laughing. Songs in the beginning, sung in the end. Endure, the people cry out. Tears of anger, tears of sorrow, flowing, giving birth to resistance. Young ones to remember. Struggle, for the people cry out. Tears of happiness, tears of joy. Washing the pain, cleaning the spirit, giving strength. The generations remembering the past to rebuild the future. For weeping is another way of laughing and resisting. And outlasting the enemy. Living in reality, calling us Red Indians, we have been the colors on a chameleon's back, changing with time, altering the larger pattern, surviving genocide because we have to. Living in reality, we are targets of your unfairness. With warriors for targets, you create your own destruction. This is how we bring you down. Target by target, you wound yourself. Using your greed, we watch your spirit fade. Living in reality, we can endure your cages, your bullets, your lies, your confusion. We know you have destroyed your peace. Living in reality, you only exist. Diablo Canyon, today I challenge the nukes. The soldiers of the state placed me in captivity, or so they thought. They bound my wrist in their plastic handcuffs, surrounding me with their plastic minds and faces. They ridiculed me, but I could see through to the ridicule they brought on themselves. They told me, squat over there by the trash. They left a soldier to guard me. I was the Viet Cong. I was Crazy Horse. Little did they understand. Squatting down in the earth, they placed me with my power. My power to laugh at their righteous wrong. Their sneers and their taunts gave me clarity to see their powerlessness. It was in the way they dressed and in the way they acted. They viewed me as an enemy, a threat to their rationalizations. I felt pity for them, knowing they will never be free. I was their captain, but my heart was racing through the generations, the memories of eternity. I was beyond their reach. I would be brought to the internment camp to share my time with allies. The last time I saw them, they were standing in their 12-hour shifts, addicted to their chain of command, waiting to be told what to do, forgetting about me, thinking I was just another protester they were finished with. Never understanding, I am not finished with them, for I am the resistance, and as always, I will return. It took the times we didn't care about living to learn survivors survive whether they want or not. It took the pain, the grief, and the dying to remember what gets forgotten in the living. It took the lessons of 1,000 generations to get through the time of yesterday. It took the joyful songs of laughter to last beyond today and through tomorrow. It took the fragrance of a woman's touch to realize brothers and sisters are never alone. It took the joining of earth and sky to create, centering the universe. For Ronald America, this time I almost wanted to believe you when you said it would be all right. You wanted to end the suffering, and the deliberateness of the wrongs were only in my imagination. This time I almost wanted to believe you when you implied the times of sorrow were buried in the past. Never would we have to worry about shadows and memories clinging and draining the strength from our souls. This time I almost wanted to believe you when you spoke of peace and love and caring and duty and God and destiny. But somehow the death in your eyes and your bombs and your taxes and your greed and your facelift told me, this time I cannot afford to believe you. Industrial slave. Industrial slave, capitalist and communist imperialist, smiling with false faces, beckoning us with their lies about progress, wanting us to enjoy the rape of earth and our minds. Industrial slave, fork-tongued legalistic contract chains, turning our visions to technologic nightmares. National security war makers desecrating the natural world, and God still trying to get over what you've done to his boy. Industrial slave, material bound, law and order, religious salvation, individually alone, industrial slave. Without earth, there is no heaven. Streets of gold, angels' wings, eternal life. Corporate Reich nuclear regimes maximizing profit, eating identities, plundering natural allies as though earth is dead. Allowing religious right collection plate tributes to church and state, with Christ still hanging from the cross, echoing industrial war cries, warring against body and soul, attacking spirit, lying to enslave with an illusion about freedom. Without earth, there is no heaven. Earth and sky, universal power, life energies, creative flow, in which we are a pattern to keep balance, harmony, a gift, an appreciation to enjoy. Honor life. Without earth, there is no heaven.
I warned you on Facebook tonight, excuse me, that this is going to be like a cabaret tonight. So I hope you're in that mood, because what I've crafted is a whole performance that I think leads to something pretty cool. Chris Hedges, who has, of course, been doing sterling work for quite a while, Truthdig, on April 5th, that's yesterday, wrote a great piece called Welcome to the Asylum. I'm just going to read the first paragraph. When civilizations start to die, they go insane. They let ice sheets in the Arctic melt. They let temperatures rise. Let the air, soil, and water be poisoned. Let the forest die. Let the sea be emptied of life. Let one useless war after another be waged. Let the masses be thrust into extreme poverty and left without jobs, while the elites, drunk on hedonism, accumulate vast fortunes through exploitation, speculation, fraud, and theft. Reality at the end gets unplugged. We live in an age when news consists of Snooki's pregnancy, Hulk Hogan's sex tape, and Kim Kardashian's denial that she is the naked woman cooking eggs in a photo circulating on the Internet. Politicians, including presidents, appear on late-night comedy shows to do gags, and when they campaign on issues such as creating a moon colony. At times when the page is turning, Louis Ferdinand Céline wrote in Castle to Castle, when history brings all the nuts together, opens its epic dance halls, hats and heads in the whirlwind, panties overboard, exclamation point. It is absolutely apparent that the culture that we live in is absolutely, totally insane. Not only is it insane, it is no longer credible. It is destructive, it is murderous, it is killing. And yet, some of us still believe that we have to get some kind of admission from that culture or make some change to that culture, which implies that it can be fixed. It cannot. Now, in Daniel Quinn's book, Ishmael, and Terrence McKenna talks about it a lot, and I've spoken about it many times here in many ways on this show, the meme, the culture, is what you think about before you think about something. It is shoveled and programmed into us in ways that we don't even notice, so innocuous. Well, most of us don't even notice. But that's not counting, I think, the billion or two people who are noticing very clearly. And I had this experience a couple nights ago, maybe yesterday. Jesse Ray's Great Sun River was here and had some time, you know, with an iPad. But, this is a great transition. It's moving. This is not Jesse Ray's fault, I mean. Every parent out there knows that you cannot watch everything that your child is exposed to 24/7. And this is really not about just what children are exposed to. It made it so clear to me what we all are exposed to, even adults, when we partake of the culture, when we watch television, when we watch commercials, when we are being absolutely, totally programmed. Marshall McLuhan, I think, would absolutely agree, and so would Terrence McKenna. So I'm listening to a cartoon that River had on, and, you know, we caught it, and it was stopped, you know, but I listened to this, and this is a cartoon based on Star Wars, in which they're talking about, here's a news alert, mass casualty event, 50,000 people dead here. And there was, I'm going to gut you like a pig, or, you know, and I'm going, wow. But it was not just apparent to me that it was a child watching this. It was that I used to watch stuff like this. And this is one of the major evolutions that's happened to me in the last few months. And the meme is the culture, the civilization is what you think about before you think about something. But what I'm totally aware of and where this show is going tonight is, I think, a clear demonstration that the wake-up is much further along than any of you guys suspect, and I'm going to build my case for that tonight. So here we're going to go to a second cut. It's a long cut, but I'm going to listen to every word with you because it is so profound, and I'm doing this as a means of accelerating the deprogramming which has begun taking place in me of stuff I didn't even know was there until I let it go. And I hope a lot of you identify with this. This is our good friend Terrence McKenna, and it's something you all need to hear, we all need to hear, because our consciousness, our own experience, is the only real authority out there. And the title of this cut, and it might lift your spirits tonight, is called Trust Yourself. I'll be with you the whole way through, and then I'm going to make my PowerPoints right after that. Okay, here we go.
I mean, if you do, that's like believing that you understand Los Angeles if you have the telephone directory, you know? I mean, this is the level of genetics today. What they say they understand life, and they have the telephone directory, and they're talking about Los Angeles because they can look up, you know, where the genes are, the coding for the proteins. You know, does this tell us anything about a broken heart or a messiah or a Hitler? I don't think so. So what we are trying to do is return the focus of attention to individual experience. We have been slave too long to ideology transmitted hierarchically and based on a tremendously alienating instrumentality. That's what science depends on now, a tremendously alienating instrumentality. What we need to do is empower experience. Well, this is where the psychedelics come in, because citizens don't take psychedelics because it's illegal. Neither do marionettes, neither do robots. None of these well-behaved and mechanistic reductionist images of humanity take psychedelics because it's misbehaving. Misbehaving is a great sin. In fact, it's enshrined as the first sin. You'll regard that the psychedelic issue was there in Eden, and somebody misbehaved, and then they got tossed out forever and their children's children into the chaos of history. It's interesting to read in Genesis why this was. It was because they will become as we are, says Yahweh. They will become as we are if they eat of the fruit of the tree of knowledge. I suggest to you that this is precisely what we should seek to do, and that this we is the voice of hierarchy, the voice of paternalism, the voice of the male ego, finally right up into the storm god, the volcano god who lies back there in the origins of monotheism. We empower our experience by insisting on our authenticity. It's a wonderful thing to learn to be able to stand up and yell bullshit. I did it when I was about 18 years old, and it was the meme of the hour, and it blew their minds. It did blow their minds. It was uncivil. It was uncivil. It lacked polity. It was rude and crude and correct. Correct. Because so much is being slung, and nobody is talking about the primacy of experience and the dignity of the individual. The dignity of the individual. We went a long way with this in America before we betrayed it. And it wasn't only betrayed by the clowns in Washington. It's also betrayed by anybody who clusters themselves around the feet of some self-proclaimed nabob. Because the fact of the matter is, nobody knows what's going on. Nobody knows. Nobody has the faintest idea. The best guesses are lies. You may be sure of it. And so to pretend that one human being will lead another out of the dark night of ignorance and into the shining light of truth is ludicrous. Absolutely grotesque. A product of this empowering of the human image that has gone on through several thousand years of dominator culture. If you want a teacher, try a waterfall or a mushroom or a mountain wilderness or a storm-pounded seashore. This is where the action is. It's not back in the hive. It's not in the anthill. It's not knocking your head against the floor in front of somebody who claims that because of their lineage and whose feet they washed and whose feet they washed, that you should give credence to them. Knowledge is provisional, and we are yet to approach even the first moment of civilized understanding. The way it is to be done is by trusting yourself, trusting your intuition. Reject authority. Authority is a lie and an abomination. Authority will lead you into ruin. It's not real. And it isn't, don't get the idea that it's this liberal rap about how everybody has a piece of the action. You know, the Jews know something, the Buddhists know something, the Huichol know something. Nonsense. Rubbish. Nobody knows anything. These are different kinds of shell games that have been worked out by priestly castes of people to keep things under control. Institutions seek to maximize control, control, control. That's what they're into. Did you think they were in the business of enlightening you? Saving your soul? forget it. Control is what this is all about. And to the degree that we commit ourselves to ideology, we are poisoned. Any ideology, Marxism, Catholicism, objectivism, you name it, rubbish, all rubbish. What is real is experience. What is real is this moment. And so then what it becomes about is, what are the frontiers of experience? How much of that has been taken away from us by these dominators, by these priesthoods, by these cults, by these philosophical shell games? Well, a lot. That's the whole story of history. Our growing unease, our growing disease, our malaise is all about the fact that we are kept from the wellspring of experience. We are sexually repressed. You may not feel it, but look back 100 years to a world where pianos wore pants. You know, we've made a little progress on the sexual thing. Maybe not. Maybe more or less than we think. But we are repressed in all of these areas. And we are particularly repressed in the area that relates to the psychedelic experience. Because it is raid to the dominator insect invasion. They can't take it. They can't stand it. Because it empowers the individual. It dissolves the cheerful model of science. It's just exposed as, you know, a nice story. It enriches the accessible universe tenfold, 100-fold, 1,000-fold. It makes the individual complete within his or herself. And this completion of the individual is extremely destructive to the plan of the dominators, which is that you will be a cog in a machine. You will participate in the life of an organization. Not your life, the life of an organization. You will go to some bullshit job. You will pour the best years of your life and your genius and your hopes into this. You will serve an institution. You will serve. Well, it's a bad idea for free people to go along with this. A much better idea would be to insist on the dignity of human beings, to recognize that the freeing of slaves, the giving of the vote to women, the ending of public whippings, that this program of political enlightenment must also then include hands off on how people want to relate to changing their minds. We are not interested in being sexually regulated by the state, and we are not interested in being intellectually, spiritually, emotionally manipulated by the state. The state should stand down in this issue. The state is acting as the enforcing arm of the dominator culture, specifically of fundamentalist screwballs who, you know, are horrified by all this, by the notion that people would claim the authenticity of their own minds, that people would stand in the light of nature and reject original sin and the guilt from Eden and, you know, the sins of the fathers and all this rubbish which is handed down. What the archaic revival is going to have to mean, if it has teeth, is a re-empowering of the individual and a consequent lowering of the profile of institutions, especially government. We need to think about these things because we have bought into the idea that we have to serve and behave and be enslaved, else chaos will engulf the world. We need to carry out our analysis of the situation to the point where we can embrace chaos and see that chaos is the environment in which we all thrive. That's how I've done it for years. You think I could have gotten away with this in the Soviet Union? I don't think so. I require a society on the brink of social breakdown to be able to do my work. And I think a society on the brink of social breakdown is the healthiest situation for individuals. I don't know how many of you have ever had the privilege of being in a society in a pre-revolutionary situation, but the cafes stay open all night. And there's music in the streets, and you can breathe it, you can feel it, and you know what is happening. The dominator is being pushed. It never succeeds. It never is able to claim itself. But on the other hand, history is young. We may have a crack at this. A global society is coming into being. A global society made out of information that was not intended to be ours, but which is ours through the mistaken invention and distribution of small computers, the printing press, all of this stuff. Information is power, and information has been spilled by the clumsy handling of the cybernetic revolution by the dominator culture, in so that it is everywhere. Never has the situation been more fluid. Never have the opportunities for infiltration, insurrection, and hell-raising been more present at hand. But we have to seize the opportunity. If we continue as we have, then, you know, we're doomed. And the judgment of some higher power on that will be they didn't even struggle. You know, they went to the boxcars with their suitcases and they didn't even struggle. This is too nightmarish to contemplate. We're talking about the fate of a whole planet. Why are people so polite? Why are they so patient? Why are they so forgiving of gangsterism and betrayal? It's very difficult to understand. I believe it's because the dominator culture is increasingly more and more sophisticated in its perfection of subliminal mechanisms of control. And I don't mean anything grandiose and paranoid. I just mean that through press releases and sound bites and the enforced idiocy of television, the drama of a dying world has been turned into a soap opera for most people. And they don't understand that it's their story, and that they will eat it in the final act if somewhere between here and the final act they don't stand up on their hind legs and howl. And it's not done through organizing, it's not done through vanguard parties or cadres of intellectual elites. It's done through just walking away from all of that. Claiming your identity, claiming your vision, your being, your intuition, and then acting from that without regret, cleanly, without regret.
Thanks to John and Terrence, we're now built up to the part where I believe I'm going to add something to all of this for the rest of the show, and I hope you're kind of into this cabaret play tonight that we're doing on the Lifeboat Hour. You know, I have discussed how I went through a great many surrenders in Colorado in the months before I left, some great hardships, and that was spirit, that was the mountains working on me, and they let me go. They graduated me, if you will. I laid down my weapons there because as a result of spending, hundreds of hours with McKenna videos, reading Rian Eisler and Daniel Quinn, some big things started to become clear, and I laid down my weapons there, other big chunks, because I couldn't, and the warrior mentality was playing throughout my subconscious like background elevator music my whole life. But one of the major conclusions that I have come to, especially in the transition from Colorado to here and the struggles I had both getting here and since I've been here, excuse me, is that It's too painful to live in that reality anymore. It is impossible. It is torture to live in a reality where you pretend that the stock market means something, or the U.S. government means something, or the reality of consumerism means something, or that, you know, that it's too painful to live there anymore. It's torture for those of us who are awake. And we're going to get there, but later on, as I build through this. But there are billions of us now. Let's get that clear. It's too painful to live in the old reality. This is the birth. This is the pain of not changing has become greater than the pain of changing. And that's the only time that people change, when it's more painful to not change. And that's exactly what's happening right now. And let's, you know, just take a minute in our imaginary space and look around and imagine ourselves looking at and recognizing and smiling at all at the 1 or 2 billion other people who already get this clearly. Major awarenesses that has come to me recently, to the point where I could write about it and it was clear. Carl Jung talked about this a lot, especially in his work on the shadow, which is what we create whenever we become afraid. We create a shadow because we take action to prevent that of which we are afraid, and in so doing, we create exactly what we are trying to avoid. That almost any mystic will tell you that truth, and that is by creating an other, something separate from ourselves. And that's ultimately how the meme reinforces itself and reprograms itself in us to control us, is by convincing us that there is an other that needs to be controlled, opposed, defeated, overcome, hated, put in jail, tried, executed. So I was sitting here talking to Jesse Ray last night, and boy, it's true that when a man and woman who like each other are in the same space and they're friends, there's a great collaboration that comes when the male and the female energy are joined, eagle and the condor, for those of you who pay attention to that stuff. And we were just talking, and she, I don't recall exactly what she said at all. Doesn't make any difference, but something emerged, and this writing came out of me, and I'm really proud of it. And this is how we're going to take this theme out for the rest of the show, because I'm going to make some strong points, and I can just feel that there's a lot of you really listening to this right now. So I wrote this, and I've studied and read a lot. Great Spirit gave the red people the responsibility to care for the earth. Great Spirit gave the black people the responsibility to care for the waters and the powers of the waters. Great Spirit gave the yellow people the care of the winds and the power of the winds. And it gave the white people the power of fire. Think Plato, earth, air, wind, water, earth, air, water, and fire. It is fire that is consuming the earth. This is the white man. This is division. Industrial civilization is a heat generating machine. We are living in global warming. Nuclear power is fire. Burning oil is fire. Fire makes our cars and trucks run. Our airplanes fly. Our lights turn on and our computers run. Burning frack natural gas is fire. Burning coal is fire. War is fire. The fire will consume everything in search of fuel to keep itself alive, if it is allowed to. The age of fire is ending, and even the blind are seeing it now. And through its great dying and the embrace of its shadows, the human race will evolve into a species that deserves to survive. And that's the key. Let us become deserving of rescue and see what happens. As Russell Means said, we are all on the reservation. We have all been living on the reservation of the meme, of programming, of culture, of civilization, of stuff that has been so deeply woven into our fabric that we're not aware that it's there until we become aware that it's killing us. That it's killing us. That's what's wrong with the world right now. Human civilization, human culture must die. Human beings do not have to. There is no other. And the minute you accept an other by saying that Dick Cheney needs to be tried and hung, or by saying that the head of J.P. Morgan needs to be tried and hung, or anybody that you happen to be particularly pissed off at or get your jollies from disliking and wanting to do justice to, you need to understand that the only option left for us now at this point in the evolution of our consciousness, which is controlling what is happening to us, is to recognize that when you hate something like that, you are hating yourself. Mitakwe oyasen. Mitakwe oyasen. All my relations. If we are all connected and we are all one, then we cannot hate ourselves. But that is fundamentally the major tool of the culture and the meme to maintain control. And you've heard it clearly tonight. Daniel Quinn and Ishmael said clearly one of the fundamental things about mother culture is that it is programmed into the culture itself that it is the only right way. And it will do anything to prove that it is the only right way. And the programming of this culture, the only power available to it, because it does not have the power of life, is the power to kill. I wrote an essay some years ago called Global Corporate from the Wilderness, probably in 2005, maybe 2005, I think it was, in which I talked about when the last CFO at the last corporation turned out the lights for the last time. As the last corporation standing, he would proclaim, "Hooray, we did it!" Now, that's madness. And you just heard Terrence McKenna, and you're hearing me tell you what we have to do, all we have to do, to liberate ourselves from this. We have absolutely nothing to lose. There is no other. And any time you catch yourself being angry at someone or wanting to punish these people who are running nuclear power plants and destroying the planet, or these people who are churning out hundreds and hundreds of tons of carbon into the atmosphere, these people who are doing tar sands, or these people who are fracking, or these people who are destroying the Constitution, anytime you catch yourself hating them and wanting to hurt them, I am cursing you right now because you're listening to my voice. The next time that happens, you're going to remember that what you're doing is you're hating yourself. Stop asking crazy people whether you're crazy or not. Stop asking or expecting crazy people to affirm the fact that you're sane. We are stronger by the day, stronger by the minute. Here's case in point. This will exemplify. It's an illustrative example. Tomorrow morning, if you followed, you know that I'm living in a 27-foot, 60-year-old trailer in one of the nicest junkyards in the world that also has a nice garden on about 3 acres. I mean, it's a very eclectic place with people straight out of James Howard Kunstler's novel World Made by Hand. Some really cool people, some loving people. There've been challenges here, but you know, and you know, I've been poorer than a church mouse because I was living a spiritual life up there in Colorado, called back to the world. Well, I'm here in this trailer, and I told you I got some stuff that I'm going to get paid for. Tomorrow morning at 8 a.m. at this beautiful at this old trailer with sometimes the shit tank blows up and you got to watch the propane and you got to watch the drains and you got to watch the dog. A chauffeured town car is going to pick me up at 8 o'clock in the morning. And it's going to take me to Santa Rosa Airport, and I'm going to fly Alaska Airlines to Seattle. I'm going to be put up in a Marriott Courtyard suite by an entertainment company on a project for mainstream television. That's all I can say about it. I cannot say another word, otherwise I break the contract and I don't get paid. And this is going to be a nice paycheck. I need it. So don't ask. Don't speculate. You'll know more when we're allowed to say more. And I'm going to be interviewing Dr. John Apsley up there. And that's just one of many interviews. You can't read too much in that, but he's a great guy who's written a great book, who knows a lot about how proper diet can remove radioactive particles from your diet. He's working with the victim sailors from the USS Ronald Reagan, who are all dead. But he has a lot to add. Now, you won't hear him on this show for a while yet. This is just one particular interview for one particular project, but I'm coming back Thursday. Now, the fact, and here were the directions that were given to me. They want to hear Mike Rupert full tilt. They want to hear me cutting loose, saying anything I want to say. Now, that's a good sign, because it's been known throughout the time that we've been trying to bring this to fruition for some time now, that I wouldn't compromise. And you all know that if you've followed my work for any length of time, you know that I have never, ever sold out. And I wouldn't. I'd rather be poor. I'd rather be homeless. I'd rather whatever than I have been. Been there, done that, got the T-shirt. So that's a sign. So I am driving this home again tonight. John Trudell did his piece, I don't know when, I would assume maybe in the 80s, maybe the 90s. Terrence McKenna's was in the early 90s. Now, those guys had it nailed then. There have been a lot of people who've had it nailed for a long time. And we no longer need to apologize for our consciousness. We no longer need to be ashamed of what is so clearly in front of everybody's faces. Stop asking crazy people whether you're sane or not. Stop expecting that validation. And I'll share something very powerful about my dear friend Gary Webb, who broke the Dark Alliance series in the San Jose Mercury News in 1996, which became an absolute global and national lead story for some time about the CIA smuggling cocaine during the Iran-Contra years. That's something I had already been saying for 18 years. Gary became a very hot property. He was a Pulitzer Prize-winning journalist at the San Jose Mercury News. His book, Dark Alliance, sold a few copies, quite a few copies. But what happened was his newspaper turned on him. He was blackballed. The corporate machine destroyed him, blackballed him to the point where he couldn't get a job writing for a countywide throwaway. And he took his own life in December of 2004, and I gave the first non-family eulogy for him at his memorial service. And as I was thinking to myself and talking to Gary thought his life was over. He had lived expecting that one day the New York Times or somebody would come and say, yeah, baby, you were right, we apologize. And then he realized that was never coming, and he was like a chick, if you will, trapped inside an eggshell. A chick trapped inside, to the chick inside the eggshell, that's the whole universe. Nothing exists outside of the shell. That's all the chicken's consciousness allows it to see. Excuse me. So the natural inclination of the chick is to stay inside the shell, but infinite growth inside a finite shell is not possible. It's not. And what happens? What happens is the shell cracks, or as Khalil Gibran would say, your pain is the breaking of the shell that encloses your understanding. It's a birth. like Terence McKenna said, you know, he said this beautifully, but I've had this heard this said in many different ways before. You walk into a room where a woman's giving birth, and you see all these people and a woman with her legs spread screaming bloody murder with a big mess happening everywhere. And, you know, and everybody's going, isn't this wonderful? And if you didn't know what was going on, you'd look at it and go, oh, my God, it's birth. Hold in your consciousness the idea that this is what is happening now, because I am convinced that that is exactly what is happening right now, is a birth. Because I am experiencing it. I am in contact with people around the world, especially through Facebook and on this show, who are leaders, who are thinkers, who are awake, who are there. Warriors of light, and we all understand that that's exactly what's happening. So there's nobody left to hate. We want to encourage the birth. And how do you encourage the birth? Well, this is something else that's come to me recently. I've developed a whole new outlook on things that I used to consider trivial or inconsequential. Or maybe not addressing the problems. Now, we can forget bumper stickers, and we all know that buying a Prius is not going to change anything. And Derek Jensen makes a point that, you know, composting does not negate, turn off industrial civilization, which is continuing to pump more and more billions of tons of carbon into the air every year. But there's a different attitude to that, and I really appreciated that by reconnecting with the transition movement and with a guy named Trayson Heckman, who I've known for a few years, of Daily Axe in Petaluma. He's going to be on, I believe, in 2 weeks, or excuse me, next week, possibly. And his permaculture and amazing vision is leading him. They've had amazing impact here in Northern California, but the state of California now, in the wake of the drought, is actually listening to permaculture ideas and solutions about water preservation, because they understand, the state of California understands, that what they're doing is not working. It's only making the problem worse. There are cracks even in the consciousness of government. Stop asking crazy people whether you're sane or not. So Trayson is going to be on, and so we are still in this place, but there is something absolutely, totally happening right now. I'm experiencing it. It has been painful, but I have a sense that the spirit is directing everything right now for people whose consciousness is open to it. And if you are not even open to the possibility of spirituality at this point, then all I can tell you is you're screwed. You tried everything else, you know. But there are many of us who are really, really awake, and we feel it, and we see it. I think I've made most of the points that I want to make right now, except for I'll say this. If you compost, if you walk, instead of driving your car one day a week, if you assiduously recycle, if you get a little more active than that, if you stand up and say, hey, the world's coming to an end, this is a crisis with Mother Earth, I don't care, there's more, if not now, there will be more of us than there are of you who believe in the old ways soon enough. We're tired of apologizing. We're tired of everything else. Do it as an act of resistance. Let your foot fall every time you walk, every time you think of something connected to this. Go, I reject the dominator paradigm. I reject separation. I reject division. I reject hatred. I reject all of it, and say it to yourself, and say it inside yourself. And if you're a man, get ready, guys. If you're a man, reject the male dominator paradigm. We are living at the end of the age of fire, the end of the age of imbalance. We are living at the end of the age of the subjugation and the oppression of the female, of Mother Earth, and all the women who live here. In order to rape the planet, you know, what we need to live on, in order to kill the planet, it was necessary for the dominator paradigm to first dominate, subjugate, commodify women. It's part and parcel of the same paradigm. We've talked about the parable of the eagle and the condor. We have talked about the need for balance. It's now right in our faces, and there is nothing left to lose. We've only got a few minutes left of the show, and what I'm going to do is 2 minutes left. I'm going to sign off because I'm going to let, for the last 2 minutes, let you hear a song by Diane Patterson, who I got to see live again at the Sebastopol Grange a couple of weeks ago. I've held this song back. We used to play it a lot. But to listen to what this woman says, and it kind of neatly sums up the message I tried to bring you tonight on the Lifeboat Hour. Michael C. Rupert, Tracker of Truth. We're going to go out for the last 2 minutes with Diane Patterson and High Sierra Morning. I'll see you guys next week. Sierra.